and welcome to David's Book Talk. Today we have a very special guest. She's an expert on the I Love Lucy TV show, and she's written a book, actually more than one book, but this is the book that we're going to be talking about today. It's called I Love Lucy, Celebrating 50 Years of Love and Laughter, and it's by Elizabeth Edwards, and she's joining us here. Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, it's just, I love looking at this book. This brings back so many memories of afternoons of watching I Love Lucy and watching my mom watch I Love Lucy. And it just brings, every time you open it up and you see the scenes from the shows, it just brings back the whole show to you. And you just think about, when did you first start deciding you were going to write you've written a lot of books about I Love Lucy.
I have. I actually started working for the Arnaz family in 1992, and it just kind of went from there. We have a license with Running Press, and one day they said we wanted to write a book, and Lucy said to me, I don't have time to write it, why don't you give it a shot, and that's pretty much what happened.
Now, Lucy Arnaz, did you ever get to meet Lucille Ball?
No, I didn't. I was, she died in 1989, and I wasn't working for the family at that point.
Right. Oh, that's a shame you didn't get to meet her. What a thrill that would have been.
I've heard many things. Heard many stories about her, so I kind of feel like I know her anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
the book isn't really about, it's divulging different things that happened during the show, is it? You tell little things about Vivian Vance and William Frawley, but I mean, you don't go into total detail about the day-to-day of the show.
No, there isn't a lot of information about that. Most of the people who worked on the show are no longer with us.
Right.
So as far as, you know, knowing when they shot the show and knowing when they had rehearsal and things, we know those kind of things.
Right.
But as far as people getting along, I think everybody pretty much got along. There's not a whole lot of dirt to tell.
Right.
You know, everybody makes a big deal about Vivian and Bill's relationship. And people say that they really didn't get along, but I think that's understandable. Because, first of all, there was about a 30-year age difference.
Wow.
Vivian was very vivacious. She liked to go out and party. She was a fun girl. And Bill Frawley was kind of an old grump. He liked baseball and boxing and the fights. And he liked to be alone. He was married briefly when he was younger. And after that, he pretty much, you know, stuck to himself, whereas Vivian liked to be with a lot of people. So they wouldn't have gotten along anyway, and I think she always felt like people thought that she was really married to Bill Frawley, and he was so much older than she, and he thought, why would anybody think I wanted to be with this twinkie who has no talent?
So why did they pair them? Why did they do that then? I mean, why were the two? I mean, they're perfect for their parts.
They are, and you can't even imagine anybody else in them. What happened was Bill Frawley was having trouble getting work, because he drank a lot. And a lot of studios stopped hiring him because he wouldn't necessarily always show up on time or at all. So
right.
He started getting a reputation as not being consistent. So he stopped getting jobs and he really needed to work. So he called the studio one day and said, you know, I hear you're doing a new show and I thought maybe there was a part for me. And basically Desi made a deal with him and said, if you're ever late or don't show up for a reason other than you're in the hospital, then I'm going to fire you. And they agreed on that, and Bill Frawley never was late or anything. He needed the job, and he liked the work, so he was always there.
I mean, he was such a good grouch. I mean,
he was a great grouch, wasn't he?
How can you
imagine anybody else being penny-pinching Fred.
Right. And otherwise, they probably would have gone with somebody younger, do you think?
Their original choice, Lucille Ball's original choice for the roles of both Fred and Ethel, were her two co-stars from her radio show, My Favorite Husband, and those were Gail Gordon and Bea Benaderet. They had played the Fred and Ethel type characters, the Atterberries, on the radio show.
Right.
So she wanted them to be on the TV show, and of course Gail Gordon is great and blustery and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Can scream at the drop of a hat.
So the question is, why didn't he do it?
Because he was busy. He was involved with My Little Margie, and Bea Benaderet was also in a show, so that neither of them were available.
Boy, did Bill Frawley get lucky. Good
heavens. He really did. And the Ethel part was very hard to cast because they couldn't find anybody who Lucy would approve of. It had to be somebody a little bit older and frumpy looking. Now,
so that's true. So I've
only
heard
2 years older.
Right, right.
But they could make her look frumpy.
Right.
So they saw her in a play in La Jolla called The Voice of the Turtle, and they thought she was great, and Lucille approved. So there you go.
And the rest is history. But I've heard stories that Lucille wanted whoever played that character to be fatter than she was.
Yeah, but you know what? If you look at it now, she wasn't fat. Vivian Vance was not a fat woman. She was, you know, maybe a little heavier than Lucille Ball, but she certainly wasn't fat.
And you look at this whole picture of her, and it's just a beautiful, you've got some beautiful pictures of her.
A gorgeous woman. She was beautiful. She was on Broadway. She was a starlet and a dancer, and, you know, she wasn't frumpy Ethel Mertz. And she liked being on, when they were on vacation, she liked going around and having people say, "You're Ethel Mertz? Oh, my goodness, you look like you're so-and-so old." And she really was. She was only in her 40s. And, of course, she was playing, you know, 50-ish or older. So, and Bill Frawley was 60, you know, in his 60s. So he had to play a little bit younger. But you know, he was perfect for Fred.
And on page 21, and this book, of course, was provided by Running Press, mm-hmm. to serve everybody knows that, a picture of Vivian Vance on page 21, where she's just, it's just a perfect picture of her. I mean, talk about photogenic. I mean,
she was very photogenic.
And you watch her on the show, and she not only says the lines, but she brings out that emotion, and you feel for the woman. When you're able to get that emotion and get people to care about you. That's why the Golden Girls was such a success. I mean, you could care about these women.
Right.
And the same with Lucy and the same with Ethel. You just cared about these two.
Absolutely. And they were very good friends off stage, too. They were like sisters.
And I still can see in my mind the scenes of Vivian crying. I love to see her cry. You know, why is it always so much fun to see actresses in comedies crying?
She was great, and her timing was brilliant. And there are certain scenes where you just watch the show and you're just mesmerized by her. By all of them, too. I mean, Desi had brilliant moments, and Bill Frawley had those kind of moments where he would drop a line and then just wait and there would be a beat. Mm-hmm. And you just laugh out loud because the way he said it was so deadpan. And it was just hysterical. But that's part of that is the writers, too. I mean, mm-hmm. the writers wrote really funny things.
And I can't even imagine how. I mean, writers today, everything's so different today. But back then, I mean, writing was so good back then. And you look at some of those shows, and you know, I even think of like Star Trek and things, where the original was written so well, but after that, it wasn't written as well. I mean, the writing today is not what it was back then.
I agree with you totally. And the amazing thing about I Love Lucy is that for the first 4 seasons, there were only 3 writers wrote all of those shows. Only 3 people.
I wonder, do we know how long it took them to write one show? I
mean, it depends on how many rewrites they had to do. Generally, what they would do is Bob and Madeline would come up with a concept. They'd pass it by Jess Oppenheimer. Jess would okay it. Then they would decide if they could actually do it because, you know, if it involved recreating the SS Constitution or, you know, sending somebody into a vat of grapes. They had to decide if it was feasible for the crew to kind of make that happen.
Right.
But then it would go back, they would write the script, and a lot of the things came from real life. A lot of the stories came from actual events that Bob and Madeline experienced, or that Lucy and Desi talked about, or, you know, that Bill Frawley said, "Oh, one time I did this," and they made a story out of it.
That's great. I mean,
so it took maybe, you know, a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks.
To get it all done.
Now, did they film live?
They filmed live on Thursday nights. It was the first show to film live in front of a studio audience on film. Up to the time that I Love Lucy started filming, everything was done on something called Kinescope, which was basically a cable. Mm-hmm. And it played once in New York and once in L.A., and then after that, there wasn't much left. A lot of those old shows, those Milton Berle shows and shows from the very early days of TV are gone now because they weren't filmed. It was basically, what happened was they would do the show and they would film the monitor. So you would get this very grainy kind of film that, you know, it's like would be like taking a picture of a picture. It's another generation removed. So when Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz said, well, we want to do this show, but we want to do it from Hollywood in Los Angeles, that's where we live, instead of in New York, they had to figure out how they were going to do that. So Desi said, well, we'll just film it. And, of course, that was a lot of expense. And they used 3 and 4 cameras, so there were different angles, and then they edited everything else together. So it's something that had never happened before, and it was filmed in front of a live audience, which had happened, but not with the film and not with the cameras. So they had to figure out how to work it so that the audience could see over the cameras,
right,
first of all, so that they could, you know, get the reactions and the laughs.
They never had
the cameras in the film, so they had to edit it together.
Right. You never really know what goes into a show. I mean, you watch it on TV, and it lasts half an hour, and it's gone. But you don't really know the behind-the-scenes stuff. For one, TV show is amazing. When you look at behind the scenes, what has to happen and all the things that have to go right in order for it to look. Now, when you watch the shows, you don't see any mistakes, and I don't remember seeing any mistakes.
There are a couple, but very few. Lucille Ball was...
Was she a perfectionist?
She was perfectionist about rehearsal. She would rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse until it got absolutely right. In fact, you know those scenes where when the bread pops out of the toaster and catches it in midair?
Right.
They would rehearse that, but they wouldn't use actual bread. And first they used wood, and then they used foam, and nothing would be the same weight as the bread, so that the crew got this balsa wood, which weighed the same as the bread, so she used to use that in rehearsal.
Now, they had all been on Broadway at one point before they did the show?
Lucy had not. Desi had been on Broadway, and Vivian and Bill had been on Broadway.
Okay, so
But Desi had performed in nightclubs in New York and all of that, so Lucy was the only one.
Now, Lucy was also, at one point, was on the Three Stooges, wasn't she? Didn't she do a Three Stooges episode?
No, I don't think so.
Maybe it's Marx Brothers
She was in a movie with the Marx Brothers.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yes, was in a movie with the Marx Brothers and actually really liked Harpo, which is the reason that Harpo ended up on the show. She wasn't keen on the other ones, but she and Harpo really liked each other.
How was Lucy to work with? I mean, what's the feeling there? I mean, was she difficult to work with? I mean, was she demanding?
That's what people say. People say that she was a perfectionist, and she was tough to work with. But everybody loved her. So there had to be something there that made people want to, you know, do well for her.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't probably the most fun person to work with. I think she, you know, after doing a scene, people, you know, they go, oh, good, that was fun, and wasn't that, you know, and they laugh. And I think she just wanted to get right on to the next thing.
It sounded like she was a workaholic.
She wasn't a workaholic, but she was very serious about what she did.
Right.
And she loved to work.
When you look at the expressions on her face, I mean, the priceless expressions, things that actresses today don't even know about. I mean, she could convey with her face so much.
Oh, absolutely. With her nose, she could do so much.
I mean, you think of anybody today in comedy, any woman today in comedy, and who even comes close to her?
Well, she was very subtle in certain ways, and I think that's not understood today. I think people don't understand subtlety. They don't understand, you know, a kind of a quiet joke. Everything has to be in your face.
Right. Or bathroom humor or sex.
Exactly. Yeah, there was none of that.
And they didn't do any of that stuff.
None. Nothing. I mean, I think, you know, they never made sexual innuendo jokes. They never did anything like that.
And I watch them today and I cringe at some of the things they say. And
Lucy Arnaz says sometimes, you know, when my parents were filming I Love Lucy, you couldn't say the word pregnant, and now they practically show you how to get that way.
Now, Lucy Arnaz was how old at the time when the show was out? I mean,
Lucy Arnaz was born 6 weeks before they started filming.
6 weeks, wow.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And
so they shot the pilot, Lucille was pregnant, Desi was out figuring out how to shoot the film and who to hire and where's the studio and what are we going to do about the audience, and she's home waiting to have the baby. She has the baby, and then they find Vivian, and then it's like a month later, and they start rehearsal in September.
Wow, that's a lot of...
It all happened in, you know, 6 months.
It's incredible. Now, how did you pick the cover of this book? It's such a great cover. I mean, how you look at it and you think, what a perfect picture.
I actually didn't. The publisher did that, but it's a perfect shot because it shows them having fun. It shows them being loving. It's the perfect, you know, it's a perfect shot for the I Love Lucy show. It couldn't be more perfect.
It is. It's just great. And, you know, you go through this book, you look at all the episodes. If you had to pick one episode that was your favorite, could you do it, or is that too hard of a question for you?
It's hard because I don't think that there's one. I think that there are a lot of different ones for different reasons. Like, one of my favorites is the one where Lucy tells Ricky that she's going to have a baby because it was very real. That they had been married for 10 years before Lucy Arnaz Jr., or, you know, Lucy mm-hmm. Arnaz, my Lucy, was
right.
born. So they waited a very long time, and she was 42 years old. So they never thought that they would have another chance at it. So it was a very real, honest, raw emotion, and they were really, I mean, they were both really crying when they went through that experience, and when they stopped the filming, Desi said, okay, we're going to have to do it again because we were crying. And the audience actually said, oh, no, 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 you have to leave it there because it was perfect. So there was actually an audience participation. They said, oh, no, don't do it again. That was great.
Right.
So because it was honest, it was really what these two people were feeling.
Hmm. Well, what would happen if they were filming the show and there was a mistake made? They just keep going? I mean, they didn't
stop. They
just
kept going. There were very few times that they actually had to edit. There were a couple of times where somebody would make a mistake, but really get right back on track.
Right. Now, you also, in this book, and I think I had the number, it's like 579 trivia questions, too, that
yes.
go along with the show.
Yes.
That's amazing. How did you pick the trivia questions? I mean,
just watching the shows, you know, just I would just take notes and say, you know, what was that guy's name in Mr. Littlefield and what did he do, or how many eggs were in her shirt or whatever. So I would just by watching the show, taking notes.
So the question is, and I should have asked you this before, but how did you get started with I Love Lucy? I mean, what made you want to write about this show?
Well, I started working for the family. I mean, literally, when I started working for the family,
oh, I see.
All I knew was I Love Lucy. I didn't know that Lucille Ball had been in 75 movies or Bill Frawley had been
75.
In over 100 movies. 75 movies.
100 for Bill Frawley?
100 movies. 100
wow.
movies. Vivian Vance had been on Broadway. Desi Arnaz had been on Broadway. I didn't know any of that. So working for them, I started learning about these things, hanging around with the family, looking through the scrapbooks and all of that. That's pretty much how it happened. And when Running Press approached us and said, we want to do, you know, a book for the 50th anniversary, Lucy said, why don't you do it? So that's pretty much what happened.
Oh, that's wonderful. What did you think when she said that? You must have been like, I felt overwhelmed. I mean, to do something on that grand of a scale.
No, she asked me what I would put in it if I were to do it, and she liked what I said. So I felt pretty confident that the family would be all right with whatever I did.
Well, you are pretty confident. That's great. I mean, it's a lot of, you look at the book and you think, that had to be a lot of work. I mean,
it was a lot of work. I used to watch, I would watch 4 episodes a day and take notes on them and then type up my notes and then, you know, go from episode to episode. And, you know, it's actually kind of fun because taking notes and watching and writing down what they said, I loved writing down what they said because some of the lines are just hysterical. And the way that they're delivered makes it even funnier.
Right.
You know, Fred will just say some totally deadpan thing. The way that he says it is just really funny, and you laugh out loud.
And she was also very physical in her comedy. I'm looking at these pictures. Right? Did they practice those again and again? Here's one scene where she's tied up, and you think...
A lot of the things had to be practiced because she wanted it to be perfect. She wanted to appear that she really was tied up, and she had to figure out how to get around. Or like with that, you know, when they put that starch dress on her,
right.
Or when she got, you know, when she was at the ballet bar, she practiced that for a long time to figure out how to get her leg up there and how to get her leg stuck so it looked like it was really stuck. Some things were a fluke, like the grape, when they're in the grape vat, the woman who was in there stomping grapes with her, didn't speak a whole lot of English. So she thought that they were really supposed to fight. And she held Lucille Ball down in the grape vat. And Lucille Ball, if you watch that whole scene at the end, she kind of gets up and she's gasping for breath. She was actually gasping for breath because the woman took her down. So some of the stuff...
You can't blame the woman. She didn't understand.
No, she didn't understand. But some of the stuff is very unscripted. Like the woman who, when Lucille Ball, in the Chocolate Factory, if you remember it, before Vivian comes in the room, she's sitting there with a woman and the woman's rolling chocolates. That was actually a woman who worked in a chocolate factory. That was her job. So they hired her to come in for the day and do that on the camera. And she hated it. She thought it was the most boring thing she'd ever done. But that was her personality. She was like she was on the screen. She was kind of, you know, she didn't talk much, and she just did her job, and that was what she did, and then she went home. So, you know, sometimes you get what you get.
Exactly. I wonder how much rehearsal they did. I mean, could they film a whole show in a week? Did you say 2 weeks?
They filmed the whole show on Thursday night.
But when did they? When would they start rehearsal before that Thursday night?
They would meet on, usually on Monday morning.
Right.
And they would do a run through with the writers. They would, you know, they may get their script the weekend before, but usually on Monday morning. And then they would read through it on Monday, and then they would do their blocking, you know, like, okay, in this scene, Fred, you're over there, and Desi, you're over there, and Vivian, you're coming through the kitchen. And then they would take their script home and learn their lines. Desi was great at learning his lines. He usually learned them in, you know, one reading, in one sitting. He was really good at memorizing. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, they would rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse. And then Thursday, they would do a dress rehearsal, and then they'd film the show that night. And then they had Friday, Saturday, Sunday off.
That's pretty quick for what? And it was usually what? Were they 22 minutes back then, or were they a little?
They're about between 23 and 25 minutes, yeah. And they had different commercials. They had a commercial at the beginning, a long commercial, and then a commercial in the middle and a commercial at the end. But the commercials in those days were much longer.
Right.
They were more like PSAs than commercials like we know them today.
Right. Did Lucy ever object to anything in the scripts?
I don't believe so. Desi did occasionally. One time they wanted him to have cheated on his taxes, and he reacted vehemently against that because he was a nationalized American. So he wanted everybody to think that, you know, he didn't want anybody to think that he would have cheated on his taxes. So he made them change that to he had done something else.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he didn't want anybody to think, because he came from Cuba, he came from a communist country, he didn't want anybody to think badly of him in any way.
Who can blame him? I mean, in the situation he was in.
He joined he was in the American Army during World War II, so he was really a patriotic American, and he just didn't want anybody to ever think that Desi Arnaz would have done something like cheat on his taxes.
And, of course, they owned the studio, so they could do whatever they wanted.
Yes, well, there were a lot of rules, more rules back then, like when they were doing the baby.
Yeah.
First of all, when they found out Lucille Ball was pregnant, they thought they were going to have to stop the show. They thought it would just be over, because there had never really been a pregnant, you know, woman on TV, visibly pregnant, having a baby. And they didn't know how to get around filming her pregnant without saying that she was pregnant. So they knew that they were either going to have to do a storyline where Lucy Ricardo was pregnant, or they were just going to have to quit the show. So they decided to go and do the show, and they did six of the pregnancy episodes. And for each of those, they had a rabbi and a priest and a minister read the scripts and watch the filming just to make sure that there was nothing objectionable in the story. And they all said, all three of them said, well, what's wrong with this? Is a married man and woman having a baby? What's wrong with that? But they just wanted to make sure that there was nothing objectionable to the American public. So just because they owned the studio didn't mean that they could do whatever they wanted.
Now, there were a lot of special guest appearances, like William Holden, Bob Hope, and did she always get them, the celebrities, to do it, or did they approach her? How did it work? How did she get the famous people to do the show?
I'm actually not sure how that happened. That's a good question. I know that many of the people, Hedda Hopper and Bob Hope, I'm trying to think of who
the other
Rock Hudson.
Yeah.
A lot of them, Van Johnson certainly, Van Johnson and Desi Arnaz had been friends since 1939. They were on Broadway together.
Right.
Harpo Marx, she had worked with Harpo Marx. I'm trying to think who else? She and Hedda Hopper were great friends. I don't know.
I put you on the spot, Bill.
No, that's okay. I'm just trying to think of who. I'm not sure how they knew Bill Holden. John Wayne. I know that Desi had worked with John Wayne. So.
So it isn't a matter of calling him up and saying, "Will you do this?"
It's a matter of saying we would really like to have you on their show, and you'll notice that most of them have a film to promote at the time. Ricky will be reading the paper, and he'll say, Bill Holden's here, and he just did a film, blah, 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 blah. So they used it to promote their films, and it was the number one show in the country. So, it's an easy sell to say, would you like to please come on the number one show in the country, do a half-hour episode, and promote your movie.
Now, was it number one through the whole run of the show?
It was, I think it was like number two the first year, and then it was number one, number one, number one, number two, number one. It was never out of the top three in the six seasons that it was on TV.
Is there any, in your mind, is there anybody better than Lucille Ball at comedy?
I can't, that's a good question. Physical comedy, probably not. She was known for her physical comedy, and she was a great physical comedian. She learned from the bottom up when she was first in movies
right.
in the early 30s. She was one of the only starlets of her day who would do anything and learn anything. Whenever anybody said, who wants a pie in her face? Most of them would say, oh, no, I don't want to do that, because they didn't want to appear not beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Lucille Ball would do anything for a laugh. She loved to get laughs, and she loved to make people laugh. And a lot of that, I think, comes, she had a very sad childhood, so a lot of that comes from that.
So it made her happy to do these shows.
It made her happy to do these shows, and she loved trying to figure out how to make it look funnier. And she, you know, she, like you said, her face was naturally funny. She could make those, you know, looks and just raise an eyebrow or look sideways with her eyes, and you knew exactly what she was thinking.
One wonders what she would have thought of the comedy of today versus her show. I mean, they're so...
They're very different, aren't they?
I mean, they couldn't be any more different.
She would probably be a little appalled at some of it. You know, what passes for comedy today, there's almost no thought to it. It's all just, you know, four-letter words and potty humor. You know, it's not... It's like, how are we really 5 years old, or can we grow up out of that?
Right. That's why
they were so smart. I mean, their humor was smart.
I mean, imagine Lucy saying a bad word. You can't even imagine it. You just can't.
Oh, no, you can't. I mean, they couldn't even say pregnant. They didn't even say the word pregnant, and that's certainly not a bad word.
Right.
So,
but
you know,
look at another actress like Betty White, who had started with comedy where you couldn't mm-hmm. do that, and now has branched into comedy where she can say these double entendres, things
yeah.
that she never could have said before. And it's such a shock to see her do it, because you're not used to her doing it.
I agree. It is a little like, oh, really? Okay.
I mean, you see her and you're like, that's not the Betty White I remember. You know,
no, it almost seems like it's like she's doing it because it's what she's supposed to do,
right.
but that she doesn't really mean it. I don't know. I don't know her. I do know people who do know her, and they all say she's this just really sweet lady.
Oh, I have no doubt she's a sweet. I met her at a book signing a number of years ago. She's just as sweet as you could possibly. Now, that's not saying she's like that all the time, but I can't
I'm just
believe.
It is
right.
hard to make the two things fit together somehow.
Yeah.
Betty White with a potty mouth, or Betty White making sexual innuendo jokes, or, you know. But the way that she does it is endearing. It's cute. She looks cute no matter what she's doing. So I guess it works.
Now, when you sit and watch these episodes, do you laugh out loud? Be honest.
I do. And even after all the times that I've had to watch them because of my job, I still find that there are moments where I just laugh out loud. And sometimes I could just be reading a quote, and I just go, oh, that was just really funny.
When I think of Lucy, I mean, instantly you just think of comic genius. I mean, who could do it any better? I mean, even a male, doing her physical kind of comedy. Yeah. I mean, there were some. I mean, Dick Van Dyke is certainly good at comedy. Mm-hmm. He's good at almost anything he does.
Mm-hmm.
And at any age. I mean, it doesn't seem to matter what age he is.
That's true.
He has that
kind of spaghetti body where he can just do anything.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And,
yeah.
You know, she's just... I remember when TV Guide did the comedians, she was at the top of the list. I mean, she was, in their estimation, the best.
She always is. And she's very kind of Chaplin-esque. But the thing about her that's so endearing that makes her clownishness funny is that she's sweet, and you can look at her and go, she could be my friend, she could be my daughter, she could be my sister, she could be my mom. You know what I mean? She connects with the public in a way that you want to love her. And as silly as she gets, it doesn't matter, because it's just unconditional love. You just want to kind of take her home and play with her.
Right, exactly. I mean, and I can't believe she actually did 100 movies. That just astounds me.
Bill Frawley did 100 movies.
Oh,
she did 75.
75, wow,
yeah,
close enough.
Yeah.
Pretty close to 100, but
yeah,
I mean,
well,
that's...
she started in 1934, and she made a lot of them, you know, early, where she was just a walk-on. And then she got her big break in 1936 with a Katharine Hepburn Ginger Rogers movie called Stage Door, which is a great movie.
Oh, that's a very classic movie.
Yeah, and then you know, she went from there, and the reason that she actually had red hair was because at the time, color was just coming out, and every actress in Hollywood was blonde. So they said, how are you going to, you know, kind of stand out? You're a comedic actress. You're not going to be, you know, the most beautiful thing on the screen. So why don't we make you a little funny and give you red hair? So that's what she did to make herself a little different than everything else.
Now, did she have brothers? Did she have brothers and sisters, Lucille Ball?
She did. She had a younger brother, Fred. And Fred was born actually after their dad died. They lived in Michigan, and her father got typhoid fever and died, and their mother was pregnant with Fred at the time. She was like 4 months pregnant, so
never
had to go home.
Who's even ever seen him? I don't ever remember seeing Fred.
Fred Ball worked for Desi for many years. He was the manager of his band, and then he worked for Desi Lou.
Hmm. And he's not alive anymore, is he?
Or no, he just died a couple years ago.
Oh, that's sad. But it happens.
He had a very happy life. He was old when he died, and he had 4 children and a wife, and so he was a happy guy.
Do you think that's why it was Fred Mertz, because of him? Do you think that's why she used the name?
No, I don't. The writers actually named the Mertzes, and I think they were named after some neighbors of Madeline Pugh.
Oh,
I think
really?
She had some neighbors named Mertz in Indiana growing up, and I think that's where they got the name.
That's a sign of a great show, and you can play some of the scenes in your mind and see them so clearly. I mean, so much of TV today, as much as I love some of it's just very forgettable, and 5 minutes after you've watched it, you've forgotten it, most of it.
It's very true. I mean, this next year, I Love Lucy will celebrate its 60th anniversary.
Wow.
And so how many shows do you know that are, you know, today are going to be here 60 years later, so they're going to watch.
Right, exactly. So the question is, since 1950, was it 51 started,
mm-hmm.
has it ever been off the air?
I don't believe it has. It's in, you know, many countries. It's in dozens of languages. And I think that they say that somewhere in the world at any given moment, it's on the screen.
And anybody, I mean, it doesn't matter what country it plays in, people find it hysterical.
Yes. Well, I mean, comedy is, I think, universal. Especially with physical comedy.
Right.
You can, you know, I mean, there's that hysterical scene in the job switching episode when Lucy and Ethel are at the chocolate factory, but Ricky and Fred are home, and they're ironing silk stockings, and Fred is baking a 1-inch 7-layer cake, and then the kitchen explodes, and there are chickens falling from the ceiling, and there's rice going all over the floor, and Desi Arnaz slides into the oven, and he slipped. It was an accident. He wasn't supposed to. But, you know, it was hysterical, because he's lying there, his feet are up in the air, and he's, you know,
exactly.
sliding around in the rice on the floor. It was hysterical, and that's hysterical in Afghanistan, and it's hysterical in France, and it's hysterical in Argentina. So, it doesn't matter.
That's amazing. Did we ever see, and I can't remember if we ever saw Fred and Ethel's apartment.
We did. Several times. They used to play cards there. And actually, right before they moved to Connecticut, they had to leave their apartment because people needed to move in. So they had to stay with the Murches for several weeks, actually. And we saw the Murches' bedroom one time, but we saw their living room many times.
That's great. I'm wondering how you got these Jenna Elfman and Rosie O'Donnell did all these things for your book. So what they thought of it. How did you get those?
I just wrote to them. I got their information from agents, and I just wrote to them and said, "I know you're a big fan, and
great.
Would you like to contribute to this?" And they did.
Did anybody not answer you?
No, actually not.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Who knew it was that easy just to write to and get a response?
Well, you know, I was calling from Lucy Arnaz's office, so that probably made it easier.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't just Jim Smith by myself, so.
Right, exactly. But still, I mean, they're all famous people, Rosie O'Donnell,
yeah,
Melody
Thomas.
I wrote
a letter saying who I was and what I was doing, and then I heard that they were a big fan and that I would love to include them in the book, and would they have anything to say? And they all said, sure.
It's so true. If you're nice, look what you get when you're nice.
You know? Absolutely. You have something in common. I mean, you know, I'm writing a book and you're a big fan, so join me.
Now, the question is, how many books have you written on I Love Lucy? We haven't talked about...
Actually, my sixth was just... the manuscript for the sixth was just FedExed out today.
Oh, really? And what's this one? How is this one any different from this?
This one contains... let's see. I'm trying to think. I did the chronology of the episodes in a different way. Instead of doing them chronologically, I did them by theme, like Lucy tries to get into the act, and Mischief and Mayhem, and Mertz versus Ricardo, and things like that. So those were split up differently. There's a big section on travel, a big section on food, because food was huge in this show. In almost every episode, they're eating or drinking something.
Huh.
Coffee is always on the stove. They're always talking about food, shopping for food, making food, cleaning up after dinner. Because it was a domestic comedy, there was obviously food going on.
Right.
So there are famous episodes that have food as almost another character in the episode. The Chocolate Factory, you know, you think of the chocolates as actually another character because they're stuffing them in their shirts, they're stuffing them in their mouth.
Oh, that's just...
You know, they've got them in their hat.
What a great show.
Escargot one when she's in Paris. And she's trying to eat the escargot, and she doesn't know what to do, so she put the pinchers on her nose, and she has some ketchup. You know, so and the bread coming out of the oven, there's 20 feet of bread coming out of the oven. So the food was a huge part of it.
And that really was bread. I mean, that wasn't made up.
It was actually bread. It really was. They actually had to make a special pan. They had to go to a factory that made pans and have them make a 10-foot-long pan.
I wonder if there were...
Can make the bread.
That's amazing. I wonder if there's any episodes you didn't like. Are there any you just simply watch and they just don't think are funny?
No.
Not a one?
I can't think of any.
I mean, most TV shows you think of, there's always one episode where you say, I didn't like that episode. That just didn't do anything for me.
I mean, I'm sure there's some that I like better, but I don't think that there's any that I don't like at all.
And what did you think of the Lucy show and the shows that followed? I mean... Were they as funny to you?
I think that... I mean, she was certainly funny.
Right.
But as she got older, it got harder to... I think you started to worry more about her doing some of those stunts.
Right.
Like when she became the age of what would be a grandmother, you started thinking, oh, should she really be jumping out of planes and, you know, jumping out of windows and things like that? And I think that they also lost... Something about the I Love Lucy show that was so special was that she and Desi were actually married.
Right.
And as much as Fred and Ethel, you know, used to bicker, they stuck up for each other when the fighting got tough.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you miss that kind of camaraderie that they had in the I Love Lucy show. I think it's missing from the other two shows. Vivian did 3 years of the Lucy show. And they were kind of widows together, raising their kids, and then Vivian left the show.
Right.
And the Here's Lucy show, she had her kids. But then Desi left after a couple of years, and I just think that there's some magic missing from those shows. Even though they're funny, and she was funny, I think there's something missing, and I think it's Desi. A lot of it is Desi is missing from that. That you don't get that kind of warmth that he brought to the
show. It's amazing how one character can make all the difference in the world.
I mean, if you think about Gail Gordon playing Fred Mertz, it would have been a totally different Fred Mertz.
Right.
You know.
Now, I remember one episode where they were something of an aerial on a roof. Now, I don't know which, I don't know whether that was
in that was the Lucy show, yeah. She was putting up the antenna.
For some reason, that one sticks out in my mind as being very, very funny.
Yeah, she was up there trying to put up the antenna, and she kept falling and sliding and you know,
that's a good episode.
Off the roof.
It's got to be good if it stays in my mind all these years,
yeah.
You know. I don't know how many years ago it was that
I saw it.
It
was 1962, so that's when it was filmed.
Now, Gail Gordon also was Mr. Wilson, wasn't he, in Dennis the Menace, the Dennis the Menace shows at one point?
Yes, he was. He was Mr. Wilson in that, and he was Harry Carter on the Here's Lucy show, and he was, what was his name, Carmichael?
That was back in the days when they were so professional. Everybody was so professional.
Oh, he was great, and you know, everybody thought the world of him, Gail Gordon.
And you never heard about salary disputes. You never heard about people walking off the set, things like that. You didn't hear about that stuff.
There weren't anybody. Everybody was honorable, and they did the work. And I think it was a mindset back then. You know, they had lived through the Depression and World Wars, and I think that they just said, you know, let's get to work and stop all this silliness.
They appreciated things too more. I mean, nowadays it's like, how much money can I make?
And exactly.
I mean, it's like, and you know, the shows are just they lack things. I mean, when you're paying one actor $2 million to do a comedy, how much?
Yeah.
How funny is it going to be when you're
exactly?
I mean, you think it's staggering to think about what they pay.
Anybody's worth that.
Are there any shows today that you watch?
Comedies? No, I actually don't. I really don't. And you're right. I mean, $2 million is insane when you figure that Vivian Vance and Bill Frawley started off making $350 a week.
I mean,
$350. I mean, of course you have to put in, you know, the decades of time, but $350 versus $2 million per
right.
episode.
It just staggers the mind. I mean, how things have changed. So, is there any other show you would write about like you have I Love Lucy? Is there any other show that really that you love enough to do it, to do like this?
I don't think so. And you know, the I Love Lucy comes because I work there. I probably wouldn't have been as involved because working with them, I learned so much about it. And I learned so much about the people, and I mean, there were 125 scrapbooks that I used to look at that were the family scrapbooks. So I feel like I know them very, very well, and I have a lot of respect and admiration for them.
How is Lucy Arnaz these days?
She's great. She's great.
Is she still acting?
She's not acting so much. She's singing a lot.
Oh, that's good. Where does she sing? Does she sing in Las Vegas?
No, she's all over the country. We were just in. We're going to the Library of Congress later in the month. She's going out to California for 2 dates this weekend. So it's just she's all over the place.
You seem to just really click with the family right away. It didn't seem to be any. I mean, were you nervous the first day you were working for the Arnaz family?
No, I didn't think of it that way. They're very normal people.
You sound like a very lovely person. I mean, you're very easy to talk to.
Thank you. They're very normal people. You wouldn't think anything of them if you saw them in the market. They don't act a certain way. They don't, you know, expect anything to be treated any differently than anybody else. So they're very easy to get to know. And, you know, here we are almost 20 years later.
Right, exactly. And one other thing, there's pictures in the back of different fans who look like Lucy, and have,
mm-hmm.
and where did that come out of it? What made you decide to put that in the book?
I wanted to celebrate the fan because the fan is what keeps the show going.
I love the car with all of them in it. That's a classic.
Yeah. Oh, I know. They're all great. That's one of our cookie jars.
I mean, how many products are there today of I Love Lucy stuff? I mean, are there still like?
There are hundreds. that are out there right now.
What would she think if she could see everything that's there today? I mean, I'm sure she saw some of it before she died.
She did see some of it, and you know, she was funny because sometimes people would come up to her and say, "Oh, you know, I have a whole room in my house and has all your stuff in it," and she would look at them and say, "Oh, go get a life," because
really?
she didn't want anybody to be so worshipful of her that they didn't have their own life. Do you know what I mean? She
That's
thought some of it was
yeah.
kind of funny, like not funny, but like silly. Like why are you wasting your time doing that? Go do something. You know, she was a very
she was very matter of fact. I mean, you see her on.
She was very, you know, she just it was. This is your life. Go do something. You know, go.
Was she
get
close?
A job.
Was she close to her co-stars off the set? I mean, did they hang out together? We didn't get into that.
In I Love Lucy, I think that they did. She and Vivian were very close. They were like sisters, and they used to, you know, go shopping together and things like that. And I think in later episodes, certainly Carol Cook was a great friend of hers. Who else would have been? She loved people like Carol Burnett. She was Carol Burnett's mentor.
Right.
So I think there was some of that, but it's not like they were always constantly, you know, hanging out together. I think that they had a lot of fun on the set. And then they went home.
So what is...
She was very good at birthdays,
right.
Remembering things, presents, gifts, cards. She was very good in that respect.
So what would be next for you? Are there more books in the future?
Oh, I don't know. We'll have to see. I really enjoy writing the little ones. I've written two little ones. Those little, you know, like 4x4 gift books.
Oh, right,
they sell,
yes.
You know, in the kiosk when you get to the counter.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is called The I Love Lucy Guide to Life, and the second one is I Love Lucy Best Friends. And those are a lot of fun because it's like a picture with a saying or a quote or even some dialogue from the show. So those are a lot of fun because they're really creative. And I wouldn't mind doing a couple more of those.
Right. And I know there was an episode guide. I think it was, when I was getting the video cassettes on, I guess it was video cassettes. I can't remember back then how long it's been. But I remember there being an episode guide book that was yellow. Did you write that?
No, I don't think so.
Must have been somebody else. I thought it was. I remember having it when I was getting the DVD. I think they were video cassettes back then.
Is that the one with all of her TV appearances?
I don't know. I know it was an episode guide. That much I remember.
I think that was written by Jeffrey Fidelman. I think it's every time that she ever appeared on TV, which is pretty fascinating because it has all of the, you know, the Ed Sullivan shows and the times that she was on Password and.
Oh, I love that.
It has every single time she was on TV at any award ceremonies or, you know, whatever.
And even later in life, she still had those expressions that she'd look at people
she
like.
She did.
Like, what? You know, and like that total consternation or total, it was just funny to watch because
it's
it was so,
true.
It was so there. It couldn't have been faked. It had to be real. I mean,
it's
she really
true.
Was, and they would say a word to her on Password and she'd look like, what?
What?
What is that? What words?
Well,
what?
But she had practiced that look so many times, I think after a while it just started to become natural to her.
Yeah, she just was an amazing woman. You've done such a great job with these books. She would be proud of you.
Oh, I hope to meet her one day. We'll find out. I'll let you know.
But you've done such a beautiful job. These are just beautiful books, and anybody who loves I Love Lucy just has want to go out. And it's only $25. It's not like it's a real, you know, $50 book, so people can afford it, which is really nice.
No, I know. This day, $25 is nothing, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, I've seen them as much as $50, $60, some of these books. And this is just very, very to the point and very nice, great pictures. And, of course, you got to have a book with pictures. I mean, come on.
Absolutely. How can you do I Love Lucy with no pictures?
I mean, every time I see somebody writing a book, somebody famous, I want to see pictures. I want to see what they look like.
Absolutely.
I want to see everything. I mean,
absolutely.
That's the fun part.
That's why I tried to throw in a couple of personal ones, too.
But it's been so nice. Well, I wish we could talk all night. There's so much more we could talk about, but this has been great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
And the book, again, is from Running Press. It is called I Love Lucy, Celebrating 50 Years of Love and Laughter. Elizabeth Edwards has been with us for the whole time. It has been wonderful. And this has been David's Book Talk, and we will talk to you next time.